Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. When you watch horror movies in summer, do you cry out of angst for the Halloween season? Have you ever wondered what happens behind dark, spiderweb-encrusted curtains of a haunted house? Well, boy, oh boy, do I have a solution to all of your aching problems. The Foggy Jack Live Podcast. Where the haunters meet the haunted. Each week on the show, you'll learn behind-the-scenes info of the haunt industry, the talk of the paranormal and cryptid industry. We also talk about horror movies, Halloween, and so much more. So please join us each week for this creepy, kooky, mysterious, and spooky Foggy Jack Live Podcast. And we'll catch you down in the pumpkin patch where the haunters meet the haunted.
The Foggy Jack Live Podcast is found anywhere podcasts are sold, distributed, or streamed. Please follow us on all our social media accounts at FoggyJack13. Please note this podcast is not responsible for explosive diarrhea, vomiting, erectile dysfunction, heartworms, or major migraines as a result of listening to the show.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you. We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT podcast. I'm very excited to be here for a better episode of NXT to talk about. Last week, not as interesting, makes my job a little bit tougher. This week, more interesting. So, we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Now, you can always find me over on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. And I am just one of the hosts for the unofficial WWE Podcast Network. This week, I also joined, or I guess at the beginning, I joined Matt to do a week in review of Raw and SmackDown specifically. He and I talked for about 2 hours or so. A lot of fun there. So if you have not listened to that yet, I would suggest checking that out. Matt and I always have a lot of fun on those episodes, and look out for more of those in the future, and hopefully we'll get back together more often. Now, generally, we have a segment on this show called News, which is news with an exclamation mark, where I carefully research and cultivate news in WWE, and I certainly don't just type WWE into Google, go to the News tab, and just read what's on there, because that would be unprofessional. But if you were to do that, you'd see that this isn't a great time for news, because right now all you got is Mickie James shoots on Eva Marie returning to WWE. I thought that was Eva Marie on Raw. So she's back. That's okay. So Eva Marie's back. Daniel Bryan rumors. Talent Belief Superstar will sign a new WWE contract. Yeah, okay. I mean, that makes sense. Daniel Bryan contract rumors. Jericho versus Sting. No, thank you. I'm not a Chris Jericho guy for personal reasons, and I think that's a match that would have a fun build-up, and then the match wouldn't be very good. Mansoor's Raw debut was classic WWE. He faced Sheamus in his debut match. They signed Mansoor to just do their Saudi Arabia shows, where he performs well, and they don't use him very much. So that's what he's there for. But now he's going to be on Raw, and he's going to be featured in a story, and then they will stop using him, and that will be it. That has nothing to do with Mansoor. That has everything to do with WWE and a general lack of creativity. So that's news. News with an exclamation mark. Not a ton going on this week, but on NXT, there is tonight. We get a promo for Isaiah Swerve Scott and Leon Ruff, who are going to settle their beef in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Also, Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon defend the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. That is a mouthful, against Candice LeRae and Indy Wrestling. I really hope Candice and Indy win those titles and then lose them next week. That one is going to be a street fight, so some good potential matches coming tonight. So we are, in fact, starting with Leon Ruff coming out to the ring. It's weird because I don't know what we're going to do with Leon Ruff after this. He had the story with Johnny Gargano, and he was North American champion for a bit. Now he's moved on to this. They didn't really do anything with him in the middle. He just kind of fit into this story, but this seemed to be the blow-off match. I don't know where you go from a street fight. So now that that's done, I just don't really know what you do with him. He's a really small dude, even by NXT standards. And I don't know if they ever really knew what they wanted to do with him. They just used him for the Johnny story, and he was North American champion, but he was never a champion to be taken seriously. He was just kind of a part of a story. He's very good. I hope that he has success, and I hope that they can kind of find a role for him. Isaiah Swerve Scott is out next. Swerve is a guy that has the potential to be one of the faces of NXT. He has not gotten that chance to be that, but now as a bad guy, he's more of a character, which they love, and he's got everything you want in a top guy. Swerve could absolutely be in the mix with Pete Dunne and Finn Balor and Adam Cole and Karrion Kross, and I think that if built up properly and put into a good program with a good story, I can absolutely see Swerve being a good NXT champion. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't know if they see him that way. I think they see him as a guy who's very capable, but I think that he's excellent in the ring. He has really good promos. He's unique, and he has it, and I'm not sure what else you would want. So again, I don't know that he's ever going to be in the main event, but he really should be. And I think if he ever gets that chance to mix it up with main eventers, I think he's going to knock it out of the park. Like if he went into a program with like Finn Balor or Kyle O'Reilly, I think that he would surprise a lot of people that haven't seen him or haven't seen him compete at that level. Because I think he's ready to do that, and I think he would do a lot better than anybody thinks that he would do. The only thing with Swerve is his gear is weird. It's not quite full tights, and it's not the underwear-style trunks, and it needs to be full tights. He has, like, tights that are the length of football pants and knee pads, and it looks real weird to me. It looks like he didn't have his gear and had to borrow his younger brother's tights, and they're too short for him. And it makes him look a little bit like a little kid, so that's probably the problem. Early in the match, Ruff tries a dive to the outside, and Swerve catches him on his shoulders and basically FUs him onto the ring apron real hard. So these two are going to try to murder each other today. You love to see it. Also, Leon Ruff is really, really good at selling things like he's dying. It really adds to his matches. He's a real small, skinny dude. So when he's getting beat up and he's really good at selling anyway, it just makes it more believable that he's dying. And that's good. So when you put him in matches, you could put him in matches with heels like Swerve. And when Swerve is on offense, Leon Ruff is just dying a slow death. And that helps build the match up more than if you had somebody in there that doesn't sell as well. On the other hand, Swerve is really good at being a bad guy. He seems to be enjoying himself, which doesn't always happen. Sometimes people become a bad guy and you can tell that they're just doing an imitation of what a bad guy is, and they're mugging for the camera, but it's not like authentic to them at all, and they're just not comfortable in that space. But Swerve isn't doing anything flashy with his entrance anymore. He's just looking around like he knows he's better than all of you, and he's very cocky and confident. His entrance isn't as flashy anymore. He took out some of the higher flying stuff and is basically a fighter. So he's really changed, and again, that doesn't always happen, but Swerve is talented enough to do it and make it believable. And Swerve gets some help from his posse because it's a street fight, no disqualifications, and he ends up pinning Leon Ruff in the middle of the ring, so Swerve wins. That was an excellent match, and when it was over, and especially when the show was over, I thought it should have been the main event. It was the best thing that I saw on the show this week, and I thought it would be as soon as I knew it was happening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We cut to Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory, who are walking into Regal's office. Now, Regal's already in there talking to Scarlett, who looks annoyed that they are there. I cannot imagine what William Regal and Scarlett would have been talking about, because Scarlett speaks in like riddles and speaks like a woman who is really into tarot cards all of the time. And William Regal seems like he would just be annoyed with that. So I would have loved to have heard what they were talking about before those two walked in, because you just needed her to be in there for the story later. But it's very funny to imagine Scarlett in full uniform knocking on Regal's office and setting up a meeting time for later. So Johnny has talked to Regal, and he said he's busy right now. And Johnny says, fine, whenever you have time. And Theory stays behind, and he's looking down at Scarlett, and he says, those are huge. Are they real? They have to be. And it turns out he's talking about her nails. And that's funny, because you thought he was talking about boobs, and he wasn't. This is interesting, because Austin Theory is certainly more interesting than he was just as a guy. He was probably better off as Seth Rollins' disciple for that short amount of time that he was. This version of him, he's getting to work with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, and they work well together, but his whole character is that he's a dumb dude. And it's funny a lot of the time, and he's good at it, so it's not a problem. I just wonder if that's all we're gonna get out of this. Like Indy Hartwell and Austin Theory aren't so much the understudies of Candace and Johnny. They're just kind of there, and Indy is now doing this uncomfortable Dexter Lumis stuff, and Theory's just kind of a dumb dude. And I don't know if Theory can be more than that. I'm not familiar with much of his work. But at some point, we're going to have to see more of him if you eventually want to break him off from the Gargano family. I know they're called The Way. The Gargano family is a better name. If he's going to break off from that and maybe have a feud with Johnny at some point, you're going to have to show at least flashes of it, because right now he's just comedic relief, and that's fine, but just eventually. Swerve is backstage with his posse, says that he told you that he was going to beat Leon Ruff tonight. That's exactly what Swerve did, and they leave the building laughing and slam the door in the interviewer's face. So they're gone for the night. I don't know what Swerve does next. The Leon Ruff stuff was kind of just lingering, and now that presumably is over. So I don't know what we do next. I mean, he and Johnny are both bad guys, so unless Bronson Reed were to win the North American title, I don't think he's going for that. I'm not sure what Karrion Kross is. He acts like a good guy now, so I guess he's a good guy. And Swerve could have a really good match with Kross. I don't know if they would do that. They certainly are focused on later Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, and Finn Balor. But Karrion Kross isn't losing that title anytime soon, and I think if we needed somebody to face Karrion Kross, although that size difference is something, I think Swerve can have an excellent match with anybody. So we'll have to see what's next. Sarai and Zeta Ramier, I think it was, is going to be tonight. They're the two newest signees to the women's division here in NXT. There's a promo for that. Austin Theory and Johnny come back to Regal's office. They're threatening to beat down the door, and then Austin Theory just knocks on it. Johnny says that's probably a good idea. Regal walks up to them, and Johnny says that the only reason that Bronson Reed won that match last week was because of Dexter Lumis, and so that title match shouldn't happen. He says, okay, we still good? We good? No title match. Regal says, nope, title match is still on, and Austin Theory now has a match against Karrion Kross next week as a result of earlier. That should be a fun match. The thing that gets lost in the Gargano family and Austin Theory in it is that Austin Theory is a really good wrestler. He can absolutely have a great match with Karrion Kross, or he could believably just get destroyed by Karrion Kross. So either way, that'll be fun. It'll either be fun to see Karrion just beat him down, or if you just let them have a match and let Theory show something in the ring, which I don't know if they'll do, but if you want to do that, he can do that too. So either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. We cut back from commercial, and Karrion Kross and Scarlett are now in the ring. He says, 3 weeks ago, I said all you had to do is step up and roll the dice. And all I've heard is that people aren't afraid of me. He said, I'm not afraid of anyone. And now that we've established that, what are we waiting for? Let's give these people what they want. Let's give them a fight. I'm the NXT champion. I don't need to go back there and prove anyone wrong. You have to come out here and prove everyone right. He said, I'm not going to wait for someone to come out and stab me in the back. So next week, Austin Theory, I'm going to dive bomb you on your head. Before he can keep going, he's interrupted by Kyle O'Reilly. He gets into the ring. He tips his hat to Scarlett because he's a very respectful gentleman. And he takes a mic. He says, I get it, Cross. I get why you think everyone should be afraid. It's been sheer dominance. He says, I came out here to tell you to your face that I'm not afraid of you. And with all due respect, you're the NXT champ. So this is the match that I want. And something tells me this is the match you want too. And Karrion Kross is smiling. Before anything can happen, Pete Dunne's music hits. So it's at this point I realize we're going to do the WWE Raw thing, where the champion's out here and everyone who's going to be involved in a number one contenders match comes out to interrupt each other. Also important to note that in Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly, you have two guys who, before Finn lost the title, were the last two to face Finn Balor for that NXT title. I believe Kyle O'Reilly twice and Pete Dunne once. And they both got beat clean in the middle of the ring. So at this point, I have trouble understanding why the best two people to do this with are Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly. There was absolutely a point at which you could have put the title on Pete Dunne, and I don't know that that was ever the case with Kyle O'Reilly, but you could have, I suppose. But you had Kyle O'Reilly lose twice to Finn Balor, and now he's challenging the guy who beat Finn Balor. And then you have Pete Dunne, who couldn't beat Finn Balor and still calls himself the best, who wants to challenge the guy that beat Finn Balor. So I have trouble putting aside the reality that they're not going to have Karrion Kross lose for a while. I would presume that there's a young person on the roster that's eventually going to beat him, and slowly but surely they'll add more human elements to Karrion Kross. They already are, letting him cut promos that are just him talking, him selling more since the Escobar match, things like that. And as you show more and more human elements to him, a human man can be beaten. Finn Balor took him to the limit, even though he lost. So somebody on the roster eventually is going to have all the stars line up and will beat Karrion Kross. But one, I don't think that that's going to happen for a very long time, because I think they love Karrion Kross as an NXT champion. And I certainly don't think that it's going to be Finn Balor or Pete Dunne or Kyle O'Reilly. Finn Balor is now a two-time NXT champion. He had his long title reign. He had just a ton of great matches. I would argue this NXT title run was even more fun than his first one, and his first one was, at a point, the best one ever. So he's had his time with the title. I don't know how much sense it makes to put it back on him. When Stand and Deliver was coming up, I remember saying that I think that Karrion Kross is going to win, but I hope that Finn Balor wins. If Finn Balor had won, I think that would have been, I would have liked it, because I liked Finn Balor as an NXT champion, and there were a lot of matchups for him to still have. But now that we've made the decision to take that title off of Finn Balor, it doesn't make a lot of sense to just put it right back on him. Otherwise, what was the point? Pete Dunne, there was a point, again, where Pete Dunne could have been the main event NXT champion. And that was about the point where Pat McAfee was the leader of that group, and then he went away for a bit, and then Pete Dunne kind of became the de facto leader. He was mixing it up with, or rather, he kept coming into the path of Finn Balor, and it was clear that they were going to have a match at some point, but they were saving it. And there was a stretch there where if you had put the title on Pete Dunne, he absolutely could have run with it and could have been main event NXT champion.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Then he lost. And then that group went nowhere. And he never really did anything as the leader of that group. And now he's just kind of continually saying he's the best without, like, ever having matches in the ring to prove that or sustain success in storyline. And so he's not on that level. And he is a performer that is absolutely capable of being at that level. But momentum and the way you're positioned has a lot to do with it. And both of those things have failed Pete Dunne. So there's no universe in which I see Finn Balor beating Karrion Kross. There's no universe in, or being NXT champion again. There's not a really a universe right now where certainly I see Pete Dunne beating Karrion Kross, but Pete Dunne being NXT champion at all, even though he absolutely should be at some point. And I just don't see a world where Kyle O'Reilly's your NXT champion. Kyle O'Reilly is fantastic in the ring. He's one of the best in NXT in the ring. But he's not a super serious character. And the thing with Kyle O'Reilly is promos aren't his thing. He can do them. He's not a terrible promo, but he's not a good one either. And that is something that shouldn't be a problem. You could get him a manager. You could have him not cutting traditional WWE promos. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty important thing. It's important enough that Karrion Kross went from a silent monster to like a normal speaking guy cutting promos. Because when you especially are being featured as a main eventer, one of the things you have to be able to do in WWE, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, or SmackDown, or to a lesser degree NXT, you have to be able to stand in the middle of the ring and cut a 10 to 20 minute promo, or be in a 10 to 20 minute segment where all you're doing is talking and maybe there's some action at the end. And I don't think that Kyle O'Reilly can do that. Not to mention the fact that Kyle O'Reilly had two chances to be NXT champion and lost both times to Finn Balor. So again, I don't see why he would go against the guy that beat Finn Balor. So it makes sense that it would be one of these three to challenge Karrion Kross next. So presumably next week Karrion Kross will beat Austin Theory, and then these three will figure out how to do it, or rather figure out who's going to get the title shot. Maybe we'll have a triple threat match and just move on from there. But whoever wins is just going to give him a really good match and lose. So, I mean, hopefully of this group, it would be Pete Dunne, because that would at least be, I think, the best match that I haven't seen. I just saw him with Finn Balor. Kyle O'Reilly would be good, but I think Pete Dunne would match his energy really well. So Pete Dunne's out. He says, I don't care who wants to see this match or the new Kyle O'Reilly. The truth is I'm the baddest man in NXT, and if either of you think otherwise, I dare you to prove me wrong. And it's at this point I realize it's absolutely a Raw segment, because now Finn Balor's out here. He says, Pete Dunne, been there, done that. Kyle O'Reilly, been there, done that, turns to him and says, twice. He says, Kross, once you're done with Theory, he drops the mic and punches Kross, who takes him down. So now they're all fighting. And they're two at a time trying to gang up on Kross, and he's slowly taking them all out. For some reason, Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly disappear, and it's just Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. Security comes out. They try and separate them. They don't do a very good job. Karrion Kross suplexes one of the security guards, which is a rude thing to do. And they're finally separated. They get Finn Balor to the back. I don't know where Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly went. I don't know why they had to do the loser thing of just roll out of the ring and stay on the apron, or rather on the floor by the ring, so you're not in the camera shot, which has just gotta feel like the least important place in the world when something like that's happening. It's weird to feature all three of them as potential challengers, and then only Finn Balor is the one that can stand up to the champion. That seems weird, but whatever. So now Theory and Gargano come out, and they're double-teaming Kross, and Kross overpowers them. But then Johnny hits a super kick, and Austin Theory hits a super kick, and then they hit a simultaneous super kick. That's harder to say than I thought. And then Johnny hits Kross with the North American title. That gets the job done. So he's laid out, and Johnny is yelling at him, "You want to mess with him, you're messing with me." And Theory and Johnny, as we cut to the back, are now leaving the building early. The interviewer asks, "What about Candace and Indy's match?" He said, "Oh, we know they're going to win. This is their night. We're just going to go get the celebration started." And they quickly get in their car and peel off, very clearly worried about the consequences of their actions. They're selling this like, yep, you got one up on him tonight, but now you just pissed Karrion Kross off more. So again, that match next week should be a lot of fun. Cutting back for break, Zeta Ramier is already in the ring. Sarai is out next. Potential problem here. They really want Sarai to be Asuka and or Io Shirai. Now, I am not familiar with Sarai's work outside of the two matches I've seen her in. I do not know if she is Asuka or Io Shirai or not, but they really want her to be. Naturally, Sarai wins, and she's good. But again, they really want you to understand that she's a big deal, and they might be doing too much. Like, they have banners with her face on it that come down when she's in the ring after she wins. And they have pumped her up on every show as, like, the biggest thing in the world. And it helps to establish somebody as a big deal coming in. I get that. I think we might be pushing it a little bit here by basically, like, acting as if Asuka and Io Shirai are back in NXT, and she's like the biggest star in the world and having banners. And I can't decide if her music is good. It goes from like poppy bad to like a cool riff in the middle, and then the poppy bad part comes back again. And I don't know about that. So she wins. They should probably put her like in a feud, because this is... Now I've seen her moves in two matches. I'm ready for her to like be in a feud. So we cut from break, and Legado del Fantasma is out. Basically, Escobar wants a shot at the Cruiserweight title, and the two guys whose names I never remember want a shot at the tag titles. We knew that. Kushida pops up on the screen. He says, "Escobar made a mistake last week." He says, "Next week, me versus you for the Cruiserweight title." So Kushida's already accepted. Presumably MSK will accept as well. I would not think that Kushida would lose the title back that quickly. I mean, maybe he should, so he's not stuck in the Cruiserweight division. I don't know. The MSK would probably accept as well. MSK aren't bad. They're just not super interesting at the moment, because they came in during the Dusty Classic tournament. You got a couple pieces on them and that's it, and they quickly won the tag titles when Danny Burch got hurt, and NXT doesn't really have a fledged, much less full-fledged tag team division, so we often don't see a lot of tag matches. So you tend to forget that there are tag team champions. The women's tag titles that were just created are featured more than the men's, which doesn't make a ton of sense because they just threw that together. So We have one of our matches of the Cruiserweight title. Presumably at some point they'll also set up the tag match. So now, for some reason, our main event is Shotzi and Ember defending the NXT Women's Tag Titles against Indy and Candice. A reminder, they could have just had them win the Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez win the WWE Women's Tag Titles from Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Those titles also don't mean much because they don't do much with them, but they were like established. But they had them have a bad match with a worse finish, and Dakota and Raquel didn't win. I forget what it was. I think the ref didn't recognize a tag that had happened. And instead of that leading to a rematch where Dakota and Raquel win and prevail and bring the titles to NXT, which would have been cool, they just let it go, tucked their tail between their legs, and just made their own tag titles. So, and then gifted them to Dakota and Raquel. As a reminder, these titles are a joke and could not matter less. The champions were given the titles and were put in a match later that night and lost those titles on the same night. And that's really funny. And I wanted every time the champions defend these titles, they lose and we get new champions every time, because that is the funniest option. And frankly, that's the best we're going to do. They have a long match. It's very good. Candice hits Shotzi Blackheart with brass knuckles and then basically stomps her onto a steel chair, and Candice and Indy win the tag titles. It was, again, a very good match that does not matter at all. So that's it for NXT. We still need to find a number one contender for the NXT title. Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed, I think, is next week. I'm not sure. Austin Theory and Karrion Kross certainly are. Hopefully we get to see Io Shirai back at some point. I don't know if she's going to move up to the main roster. I hope not, unless she really wants to. And hopefully Sarai gets into like a real feud. MSK should be back next week to address that tag team title challenge. We got a lot of fun stuff going on. Let me know what you thought of the show. Again, on Twitter, at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. I always love to hear your guys' thoughts on the show and anything else you want to hear on this one. But that is it for NXT, which means that is it for me. Again, check out that episode Matt and I did on the review. It was a lot of fun. We give each other a lot of crap, and that's always a good time. You can check out this show in weeks past and the same time next week. For right now, that's it for me. So I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.